Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, it has certainly been, at least for up in this area, a pretty warm last few weeks here, Lord, and there have been a lot of cases of folks just with heat exhaustion, dehydration. We do lift up Jeff. We're thankfully able to get him in yesterday and get him on some IVs and check him out there, Lord. We do pray, if it is your will, that he continue to get stronger today. As the day goes on, give the doctors and nurses wisdom as they do read some of the charts. And Lord, if there is anything having to do with his tumor or kidneys that's more serious than dehydration, help them to see that, be able to diagnose that and treat him. Give him a great day in the Lord, though, as he rests. Give him an opportunity, Lord, to share his testimony. Share your goodness, Lord, to him with some of the doctors and nurses that may pass through. And we just continue to lift him up in prayer today. Lord, we pray for Abby that was just here at Bible school, Lord. And, Lord, we pray for her as just a fifth-grade young lady, fifth or sixth grader, Lord, having to fly down to the hospital in Philly. And, Lord, I'm sure hooked up to a lot of things there. And, Lord, we pray, if it be your will today, she would just do so much better, Lord. Encourage your parents in the Lord, siblings, family that are no doubt anxious and worried and wondering about what could be, but Lord, may they just rest in you today. As we lift her up in prayer, we pray for her condition to improve. We pray that she would have just a sweet spirit even among all of this, Lord, the unknown, and that she'd just be confident in you, Lord, even as a young lady. And Lord, we lift her up and give her to you, Lord. We pray now for Frank, an older gentleman, Lord, that doesn't know the Lord, as far as we know. He's had the gospel shared several times with him, Lord, and right now not doing well health-wise, not sure what he can understand or hear, but Lord, we ask if it be your will, perhaps prolong his life, allow him to be able to know you as Savior. We know that's your desire and your will, Lord. And we pray for, I know his sister, I believe, is also lost, and there may be other family and friends, and we'll use Laura and others, Lord, that get a chance to go by, not just to be an encouragement, but to share the gospel, Lord, with those who are needy. Lord, we lift up the Sunday School Hour. We're so grateful to have our missionaries here with us, Lord. We thank you for their faithfulness these many years. We ask your blessing on them, Lord, today as they present and open the Word of God. And then, Lord, as they travel to many different churches, we certainly pray for healing for Mark's leg. Even today, Lord, could you bring some comfort there, Lord? It wouldn't be as painful as he's moving around and teaching and preaching. We just thank you, Lord, for their love for you, and we look forward to hearing from them, Lord, today. We give this Sunday School Hour to you, Lord. May you be honored and glorified by the testimonies and by all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right.
These past 4 years have been full of changes, loss, challenges, and blessings. In all this, God has proven himself faithful at each turn. During our last furlough, COVID stopped the world. Cameroon blocked the entry of foreigners, and about 95% of all expats still in the country left on embassy flights. Because of these precautions, Cameroon was not hit hard by this pandemic. After a two-week shutdown of shops, stores, and markets, Cameroon reopened nearly everything, but required the use of masks and hand sanitizers.
The military conflict in the English areas in Cameroon is ongoing. The rebel movement of the Ambas continues to cause problems and difficulties, but we are thankful that things have calmed down a little bit. We recognize that the strife may flare up again at any time, so we are careful and keep updated on current news. In the northwest area of Cameroon, there were a large group of missionaries focused on Bible translation for various villages and tribes in this region. These missionaries were forced out by the Amba terrorism. The work was slowed because these translators were no longer in contact with the village helpers. In the last 3 years, the missionaries moved into our area and started up the work again. Village helpers can travel to our region quite easily. God has not forgotten the work he started. He has been and remains faithful.
February 2022 brought the Africa Cup to Cameroon. You might wonder how God's faithfulness is in this. Because of the need to use the stadium near Ahau and Bafoussam, the country had to put in new roads all the way to the capital city. This helped our family a great deal. Kelsey had been going to Yaoundé twice a month for youth fellowships. These new roads made the drive much faster and less bumpy. So yes, God used a Pan-African soccer championship to help us and others reach our destinations on smooth roads.
When we arrived in Cameroon in 2020 after furlough, Bible Baptist Church of Bafoussam's building project was nearly completed. We rejoiced that the structures were almost finished. Pa Thomas' family from the church occupied the lower apartment, and Floor, another national believer, had one of the upstairs apartments. Afterwards, the church received its authorization, allowing us to put up signs, and the town council recognized our property and placed bourns, or small cement posts, to mark the boundaries of the church property. For the first 3 years, we had many visitors and regular attenders in our assembly. However, in the past year, several families have moved away, including Tomas' family.
A young man named Idris is being trained for the ministry and is currently leading the church in our absence. In November of 2023, he married a young woman named Sheree. Sheree's father, Raymond, has been a friend of Mark and me since 1997. After Raymond completed his studies at the seminary in Yaoundé, he entered the ministry. He is now the pastor of our sister church in Abongbang in the East region. His daughter Sheree is a godly woman. Idris and she will welcome their first child in October. During this term, our missionary team started a program of training our church members for the ministry. We separated the men and women for Sunday school. This challenged the people to teach their peers during an informal time of devotion and prayer. A few women also started helping with the junior church program, and we hope that they will have the confidence to lead this into the future.
With the many happenings in Bafoussam, our co-worker Ellen Doyle left Cameroon in June of 2023. She had battled cancer for the last 8 years. The Lord called her home in February of 2024. The many people that she had worked with spoke of her testimony at the different memorial services held in her honor. Her ministry leaves a hole that is not easily filled. When we were finally allowed entry to Cameroon after COVID, our family number had dwindled. We left behind Joshua and Emily at Bob Jones University. The Lord guided them through their school years, and both have now graduated.
During our last term on the field, our family experienced two deaths. The first was for my dad, Rich Galley. He had been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Kelsey and I left in August of 2021, and Mark followed us at the beginning of October. My dad went home to be with his Savior a few weeks later. The second death we experienced was that of our dear friend Debbie. She was one of our first friends in our home church in Berwick, Pennsylvania. Though not related by blood, Debbie and I were sisters at heart, and she was Aunt Debbie to our children. Along with the loss of Mark's mom, Grandma Lon, at the beginning of our last furlough, the Lord has been so gracious to our family. God has been a source of comfort to our family as we grieved each loss. Still, we rejoice that we will see each one in heaven someday.
In June of 2022, Rachel began to have some physical difficulties. As the year progressed, her physical condition weakened. Finally, on December 26th, she went to Germany for surgery. Kelsey went along to help with her recovery. They returned a month later to Cameroon. Earlier this year, Kelsey started experiencing blackouts. After consulting doctors, Rachel and she went back to Germany. Dr. Schaefer, a church member in Heidelberg, ordered extensive tests and blood work, an EEG, and an MRI. Kelsey received a treatment plan to follow, and she has greatly improved.
During both physical emergencies, God was faithful. God's people in Heidelberg, Germany were so kind and generous in our times of need and helped us every step of the way. We became new friends and prayer partners.
We don't know what the future will hold or how God will lead us, but we know that He is ever faithful. We pray that men and women will see the need for laborers in Cameroon. The evangelization, discipleship, and training of nationals is essential. Would you consider joining us with this ministry in Cameroon?
Do you have any questions for us about our ministry? Some of you, this is our first time. Some of you, we've been with you now for the 18 years that we've been on the field, and actually deputation 20 years ago. So we remember Independent Bible Church very well in your ministry. So blessed always by your work. Even as your pastor mentioned, we try to make it up for pastor fellowships when we can, which is not too often, being on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. So thank you so much for your prayers, your love. Thank you so much for your love for the gospel and your commitment to seeing God's work done throughout the world. And Cameroon is a special place to us. And for all eternity, it'll be special for all of us because our labors have not been in vain and God has been faithful. So do you have any questions for us? We'll mention a prayer request or two, even as we heard the wonderful testimonies this morning from God's people and other prayer requests. Keep us in prayer. Obviously, I'm wearing these crutches not for style, but for necessity. I am not able to put my full pressure on that leg yet. We have taken a few steps, but they are what we would say painful. So keep us in prayer and pray for my wife. We mentioned in the slides that surgery, it's 18 months now. She's never fully recovered. Still pains from the ab area that she's having and some other difficulties. So keep us in prayers. The Lord has been so faithful, and we want to be faithful to him, and we want to thank you for your prayers. And this is, we've been in the country now since May of this year. So it hasn't been too long, but it seems like it's been a long time. But our yearly, our once every 4 year furlough just started this May. So, hey, Pastor Boyer.
We think of Africa, we think of all the countries. Sometimes we associate they're all the same. So how is Cameroon different, or what kind of African country is it compared to a lot of the other ones?
Well, first of all, excuse me, Cameroon is a third world country as opposed to like South Africa or even places farther north like Morocco or something, which would be like a second world country probably.
Nigeria.
Kenya, they've got a lot of the infrastructure that was brought over from England, and or South Africa would be the Dutch. But anyway, so we are definitely a third world country everywhere you go. And so we've got, but Cameroon, as far as a lot of people picture different things, but we have in the far south, we have jungle, which you would just typically think of as Africa. In the middle area section where we live, we have mountains and we have savanna. And then we have, so it basically goes jungle, savanna, mountains, and then desert. And the desert part, the far, far north, is very, very hot. It was so warm that some of our missionary sons of missionary from a long time ago, they would sleep on the roof of the house because it was cooler than sleeping inside the house. And so as far as Cameroon, we've got all of the different, you know, like I said, jungle, savanna, mountains, desert. And it's hot all year round. We're very close to the equator. And so it is just all the time hot. I guess the mountain area where we are is probably the coolest. And we have probably rainy season and dry season, different heats. Okay, so rainy season is cooler, dry season is hot. So I would say probably an average temperature every day is about 85. Sometimes it gets up to 100. Sometimes at nighttime in the rainy season might drop to like 60. So when it hits 60, that's when we have, you know, multiple blankets on and we have jackets and sweaters. So it's just, it's Africa. You
know? Yeah, and we have 200 different people groups. We have the original people group from Central Africa and West Africa, which are the Pygmies. And those were probably from Ethiopia and Egypt, migrated over around the time of Christ, maybe right before the time that Jesus became a man on this earth to save us from our sins. So we have a rich heritage, but 200 different languages. Our official languages are French and English. That's because of World War I. Cameroon is originally German Central Africa, but due to the consequences of World War I, we became French and English. So that was always political. Religion practiced predominantly Central Africa is Roman Catholic, and it's the case with Cameroon as well. Not as strong as Congo, but 35 to 40% of our people follow Roman Catholicism. 30% follow Protestantism, and 25% actually follow Islam. We are a little different, that we're kind of mixed, and it kind of brings a syncretic religion that is in the mindset of people where everything goes. So we're open to share the gospel with everybody, including Muslims, where we lived when we moved in 2007, the town of Fumban, openly could communicate with Muslims the gospel and freely share the deity of Christ and his purpose as the Savior and their need to be saved. And yet their mindset is totally different when they put things together, Catholicism, Islam, and they put even the traditional religions, which everybody practices, 99% of the people. I mean, they're Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, but they all practice the traditional religions too. So it's kind of a syncretic religion where everybody puts everything together. And we say, the way, the truth, and the life is Jesus Christ, of course. Good question, Pastor. Thank you. Did we get that? Was there something specific we needed to add to that? Okay, thanks. Any other thoughts on you guys' part? We'll share our tables in the back. We have prayer cards and magnets on the back table, and one of us should be there. I see the hand in the back. Thank you. Right. Yeah, where are we as far as our support? We're great right now. Okay. We're trying to figure out the Lord's plans with the Voken Femur and all.
We're at 100%.
We're at 100%. Okay. Yeah, we've never come back and shared that before, so we're happy to share that now. So God's been so good. Yeah, thank you for asking that. Yeah, the Lord's people have been so gracious, and we've actually had a few friends who've never taken us on for support this last term have decided to take us on. We just praise God for that. Thank you. Most of our churches are in Northeast Pennsylvania, about half of them, and the other half are from our home stomping grounds in Chicagoland and a few other places.
So you have to go to Germany. Is that where there's better care for there?
Really, yeah, good question. Yeah.
Yes, you don't want to have any care unless it's emergency in Cameroon. Just It's hard to find good care, and I had to have surgery. And so basically any kind of care in the past, we used to go up to a place called Mbingo, and that had a hospital there, and they actually have American doctors. But because of the conflict and the terrorism in that area, that hospital has closed down to any outsider. So even there, I think there might be like two American doctors still there. But as a white person, I can't get up to that. Say, I can't get safely up to that hospital. So, but for that kind of surgery that I had, we decided to go to Germany, and we have co-missionaries from our mission board that are in Germany and in Heidelberg, Germany specifically. And so it was good because Heidelberg, I mean, not only do they have excellent care, but all the doctors speak English. Because I don't speak any German. Heidelberg used to have the American army base there since World War II. And so they all speak English. All the doctors speak English there.
For the most part.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, very good question. Thank you so much. And yes, we'll be available afterwards, of course, after the morning service for that. We just have a few minutes here. If you'd open your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2, a burden I'd like to share with our churches when occasion arises. 2 Timothy 2, the address of the Bible verse is easy to remember. If you can just think of 2, 2, and 2, it's verse 2 of chapter 2 of the second letter. The second epistle to Timothy. And you know Timothy. Timothy is the spiritual son of the Apostle Paul. And saying that, some of us know background, some of us know Eunice, some of us know Lois, some of us know the names of mom, grandmother, some of us know that the father was evidently a pagan, Greek or Roman. And so we know a little bit about Timothy's background. But we know that he's addressed as the spiritual son to the apostle to the Gentiles. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul's burden comes out to this spiritual son. And the burden is to make more spiritual sons and to make more generations of spiritual sons. So if you look at this formula of this verse and just think, what is my obligation to Jesus Christ? Well, if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm already saved, I have eternity planned already, and Christ's blood has been effective in every way to give me all assurance that my life is in his hands for all eternity. But what is my obligation now that I am saved? Well, to live the Christian life, you might say. Well, that's true. Let me take you just on a different twist and look at this verse here. The second letter there to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." What we have here is four generations of believers in one little verse in the letter of the New Testament that we call 2 Timothy. It's the Apostle Paul saying to his spiritual son, "You heard it from me." Okay, grandma, mom, obviously, impact. But saving faith and all, that worked together, and you became my son. Now, what are you to do as a leader? And I don't know how you view church history, but the primitive church wasn't as organized as what we think of in official churches. It was more loose, but Timothy was not an apostle, but he was definitely a representative of the apostles. Some people call him a pastor, some people call him a bishop, some people call him other things, and I just view him as a shepherd of several churches. There are men that are serving under Timothy. So Paul is saying to him, yes, it started with me, the apostle. Yes, it was brought down to you. And then it was transmitted to faithful men. And that's the other word we'll get to this morning for the Sunday school hours, the word commit. And these faithful men will be able to transmit this message to others also. And those are obviously faithful men. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here is my ministry is flowing through your life, and through your life it's flowing through others, and those other men are able to do just like an apostle, just like you, Timothy, just like those faithful men, to see the work of God go forward. Maybe you don't think of yourself as a missionary to Cameroon. Well, that's the guy up front this morning, right? But you're a missionary to someone. If you're a pastor, if you're a deacon, if you're a church member, if you're any believer in Jesus Christ, bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, your obligation is to be that faithful man, to be that faithful woman. That's to see that work continue. You say, well, my life's not going to be forever. That's the whole point. And until Jesus comes, let's see the gospel advance through this cycle that we see in this verse here. So four generations. We've already seen two generations in Cameroon. Rachel and I visited there in 1997, became full-time missionaries in 2007 after deputation, and, you know, have seen God do a wonderful work. Actually, the work's pretty hard. And on Monday morning, we got there before all the quiche was gone, or whatever that nice platter was, and Pastor Cremard said, "What's your biggest challenge?" And I responded almost immediately. I said, "We need more faithful men." When I trained 25 men in 1997 at the seminary, what a privilege. Now I can't get three men in the church. You say, how is that? Well, I told Pastor Cremard, I said, "We have men in the church that come in and out and can't get them to stay because of polygamy." And when we talk about Central Africa, what are the people like? Well, the governments of Central Africa, many of them, almost all of the governments in Central and some in West Africa as well, East Africa as well too. I mean, it is permitted for men to take multiple wives. And that's one of our biggest struggles right now. Because we need men that are dedicated to God's word and not dedicated simply to just multiplying wives. But it is a mentality. Odd thing as a missionary, you know, you're a Christian believer who's a pastor, a missionary, evangelist, and you're trying to see the work of God go forward, and yet in the mind of a Cameroonian man, they can't understand. Even those who become friends with me that I'm trying to evangelize, they can't understand why the Westerner won't take a second wife. And you're blue in the face explaining the gospel to them, and you're trying to portray to them that Christ's love for them isn't a family, and that family, according to the Holy Scriptures, is from the beginning, Adam and Eve, you know, in Genesis 2, that command of where the father, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. They can't get past that. Since I have the means, since I have some means in my house, some financial support, it would be a crime for me not to take a second wife. And yet, what we have, the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God, and that's what they need. And to transmit that has been a difficult task. Now, when I say that, yes, our last term has been a success. We saw a building go up. We saw other people come to the church. We've seen plenty of visitors. And yet we haven't seen that real solid church that we want to see. And yet I can say that me training those 25 men, approximately 8 are still with our mission right now, and they're seeing success after success, and they're seeing men trained for the ministry. The word commit in the King James is an interesting word. It's a first century word for a financial transaction. It's an investment. And when you think about investing for all eternity, don't forget about Independent Bible Church, the need to evangelize here and throughout the world. And think of your own work and what you say, well, that is, you know, quite a responsibility to support missionaries, to support evangelists, to see the Word of God go even through special meetings of the church, even VBS and bus kids and neighborhood kids, and inviting people out and evangelism meetings for the neighborhood, whether it be an outreach or evangelistic meetings. Think of it as an investment for eternity. Paul says, commit thou to faithful men. It's like, here's a transaction, you're putting $1,000 in the bank, and it's going to have a turnover. There's going to be interest, and you're going to gain something. And Paul's not talking about money here, obviously. He's not talking about buildings or physical possessions. He's talking about eternal things like souls. And this is the greatest investment that one could make. And so when I think of this, I think of, anybody heard of Rome, PA? A couple of us, right? Good, good. Rome, PA is just a little town. In the middle of Rome, PA, there's one of those cemeteries where Philip Bliss, and we don't have the time, but you can look up in your songbook, there's probably 5 to 15 songs that either have Philip Bliss as the author of the words or the author, the composer of the music. And P.P. Bliss, Philip Bliss, has a monument there. It's known as the Sunday School Monument. And that Sunday School Monument has one of his favorite songs on there, the author of, and why is it slipping my mind, Rachel? P.P. Bliss. I am so glad that my father in heaven, but what's the name in English? I'm going to start singing it in French if I don't, can't remember. Yeah, Jesus loves even me, right? The author of Jesus Loves Even Me. P.P. Bliss died at 37. The worst train wreck, Ashtabula, Ohio, at that time in the United States. Actually, I'm not going to talk too much more about P.P. Bliss, but he was the most famous of this organ, music teacher trio. And these men were just in a little town like Rome, Pennsylvania. James McGranahan was the man who wrote the hymn that was found in P.P. Bliss's suitcase or luggage of he and his wife as they perished in that train wreck. And he became the evangelist who followed him, music evangelist. And the other man was the piano slash organ teacher's son, Daniel Towner. And Towner went out to be one of the most famous music teachers of the early 20th century. So these men evangelized thousands upon thousands of people through D.L. Moody and other evangelists, and they saw the work of the gospel reach people on two continents, being the North America and Europe, also saw thousands of servants of Christ prepared to do the work of the gospel. But a little village, a little town of a couple thousand people, a piano organ teacher with the big burden to give glory to God, three students, yet thousands of people reached for the gospel. And you might not view your ministry, you might not view your Christian life as somebody that will influence thousands of people, but you can view your life as viewing a couple dozen people. And you can view your life that maybe those dozen people will also do a work because you're faithful. And so don't lose heart, believers. Keep strong with the gospel. Give every means that you can. Wonderful to hear the testimonies this morning of Sharon Romans Road, preaching the good news, praying that God would be glorified through circumstances. I haven't abandoned my crutches, and I'm hoping to do that soon. Yet I know God has a program for that. And I had a few RNs that were believers that ministered to me in the hospital. I spent 30 minutes with the doctor in prayer after surgery, and yet there were so many that needed. I mean, one of the RNs ripped me a little bit and said, "You're a surgeon. If you want to talk to somebody about the Lord, you're a surgeon." And I'm hoping to meet him in 2 weeks' time, a week from Tuesday, actually, a Jewish man who did a phenomenal job on my leg. I can't believe it. Yet someone who needs the Lord. So keep us in prayer for Cameroon. Keep us in prayer for the future. We thank you so much for your love and for your kindness, for the work of the gospel. It's a team effort. We're investing in an eternity. And our men we have some wonderful men that are faithful men. It's nice to know when your church takes so long to grow, there's a national right next to you who just has 10 churches who are having a hard time growing right now, and actually some of them are doing very well. And there are other nationals. We mentioned Idris, the man we're preparing, his dad-in-law. Believe it or not, I contracted polio at 6 months old in Vietnam. This man contracted polio in his right and left leg. He was singing in the choir with us in 1997, and now he's directing the church works, three churches that are in the East, and we just praise the Lord for that. He can't even walk with these crutches, and yet God is faithful. And what we need to do is find others that will be faithful. Pastor, may I close us in prayer? Let's pray. You're a wonderful God. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you that God's people have testified to that this morning. Would you bless our worship service to follow? Lord, would you bless your people? Encourage our hearts, Lord, to be Timothy's, to be Paul's, to be just everyday believers who have a love for their Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray, God, that you'd help us to be on the lookout for making investments for all eternity, for sharing the wonderful news of the gospel with souls. Lord, our hearts even pour out for our country. And yet, even as I was talking with your people this morning, what a joy to know that we live in the United States of America in difficult days. And yet you've blessed us, Lord. And we do pray that you continue to bless your people, bless the citizens of this nation, and bless the believers of this great country. We're just praying, Lord, that us believers would focus again, Lord, on those blessings of seeing other souls come to you and seeing seeds of your word being implanted in hearts of men. Lord, we know there's other kinds of grounds, but we know that you do give an increase. And we pray, Lord, that you multiply that more. So we want to lift up our country. We want to pray for our leaders, our former president. We want to pray, Lord, for our present president. We want to pray for their souls, Lord. And we pray, God, that you'd grant your blessings to your people. And Lord, we want to pray for those important people around us, our family members, our friends, our co-workers, our classmates. Lord, we want to pray, Lord, that you'd use us for your glory and help us to invest for all eternity. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.